as the 17 Sevas of the Sakis includes the Mantris also. And there's some that are especially intimate with Radharani when she's alone with Krishna, and that's only the Mantris. We'll read the verse and we'll discuss these Sevas and read from the Leela description, which is a very nice meditation given here. Pratak pita patam kada vyapanayam yanyam shukasya arpana kunje vismita kanchukim api saman netam pradavamiva badhiyam kabarim yunajmi galitam muktavim anje netre nagari ungagesh chatidaham yangavanam. There's one translation. O Nagari Radha, O Lady Love, when can I remove Krishna's yellow cheddar that you took by mistake when you ran out of the kunja in the morning and remove it from your body and give you another garment, blue in color? And then, after that service in Yavat, which we described yesterday, Then when can I run back to the kunja? So running into the kunja, although we mentioned yesterday that maybe 30 kilometers distance, it's not any problem for Yogamaya to arrange the mantri, step out of Radharani's bedroom, step out the front door of the palace in Vrishabhanapur, and go, and they walk about 1 minute, and they're right in the kunja. And, oh, there's Radharani's red embroidered, jeweled inlaid embroidered Kancholi, what we call Choli. Oh, there it is, shining and effulgent, radiant with all of Radharani's ecstasies and Mahabhava. Immediately the Manjari takes it. Sometimes it's Rupa Manjari here, it's Sripada Manjari Srup, or it's you and your Manjari Srup, or anyone. This Vishnu is also describing this pastime. It's a very common, which we mentioned yesterday. And then she turns around, so within 90 seconds of Radharani's asking, the mantri has run to the kunja and returned to Varsana, or let's say Yava, to give this kancho. So that's the first one service. And she says, so that's done in there in Yava at Pratak Leela at around 7 o'clock, 6:30 when Radharani is waking up. Now it switches, Sripada switches back to waking up Leela in the kunja, as we mentioned yesterday. Before Radharani runs out of the kunja, she has to be perfect. Her eyeliner has to be perfect. Every hair in her head has to be properly braided and combed. And all the bruises and love bites and scratches and marks on her body from the night's love dalliance with Krishna have to be covered, make up or cover up or whatever. And we're making an interesting, rather humorous point that when you're running out of the kunja to meet your mother-in-law, you make sure all your makeup, yeah, both eyes have kajal, and you make sure there's earrings in both ears, and you make sure that the top part of your dress is on the top part, and you make sure that your waist belts are not hanging from your neck. That's because you're running to your mother-in-law. But when you're in Varsana and in Yavat at 11 o'clock at night, and you're running to your lover, your Nagar Sham, and you're such a frenzy, you're in such a hurry to run, then you have earring on one ear and kajal on one eye and no lipstick and you forget everything and the praying vibram, total bewilderment of praying that has seized your heart and short-circuited your mind, so you can't even, you know, imagine a lady running out of the house half-dressed. And it's not only the Braja Gopis. When you read Mathura Gamana, when Krishna went to Mathura, Gamana means to go. The Torah Gamana Leela. And it says when Krishna entered, it's such a beautiful scene. Is that those first few moments and minutes when Krishna entered the Torah and got off the chariot, Akura brought him there and he said, well, this is a golden opportunity to bring Krishna to my home and have Krishna Bhagavan bless my home with his Charanakamal and his foot dust. Bless my home. So he said, yes, Krishna, now we'll go to my home and you take some refreshments and meet my wife. And then I'll take you to the camp where Nanda Maharaj is, because they took a shorter route. Krishna says that just see the locals. when Krishna got in the chariot with Akrura and he went off, a chariot had, it's described that this was Kamsa's chariot, it's a brand new chariot. And Krishna makes the point that, of course, you can't offer a used chariot to Krishna. Like you're going to pick up God in the airport, if God's coming into the airport to give a lecture, you can't go in a used car. You have to, inadvertently and unknowingly, it's called a gyatru sukriti. Kamsa engaged in Krishna's service. And his thinking was like this. If I give Uddhav a brand new shiny sports car, in those days it means a chariot, with eight black horses, and on the sides there's these leather, what do they call, eye shades or something like that, eye shades that the horse wears so it doesn't get frightened, so it just keeps looking. We should wear those also. So we don't look left or right. We just look straight down the Bhakti Marg, and we never look, oh, what's over there? Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. But now we go this way, that way, our eyes go backwards. So the keys to I'm looking, and on the outside of those leather eye protectors, whatever, there's a golden letter, and it says K, or comes. But when that chariot rode into that, but actually, since he was offering it to Krishna, it was a brand new chariot, and he thought that Uddhava would be excited to ride in the new chariot. But Uddhava didn't really care because he's a pure devotee of Krishna, Uddhava. It was dispatched from Mathura to collect, Akrura. Akrura, who was sent, he thought he would be excited to go pick up his nephew. Krishna's his nephew. In this new car. But Akrura was thinking, this is quite appropriate. I can't pick up Krishna as something used. Everything we offer to Krishna must be new and fresh and the best of the best. And then not only that, it had Krishna's name on it. K was not for Kamsa, for Krishna. At any rate, the chariot went back, and Akrura, he said, please come to my house. Then Krishna said, no, stop right there. We want Krishna Balaram, we're not going to go to your house. Because you can't, Krishna will never do what you think he should do. Krishna will never act like you want him to act. Krishna will never arrange things the way you want them to be arranged. He'll arrange things the way he knows is best, which sometimes you think is worse. In your own life, you want to go this way, and Krishna says, no, you're going to go up into the sky like this for some time and come back and end up going that way. Anyway, you get to the same result. So then it describes Krishna Balaram walking into the town. And here it sounds like the description of Braja Gopis in Maharas when Krishna played Murali. It said the ladies of the Mathura Ramanis, married ladies and unmarried ladies, when they heard that Krishna Balaram were walking down the main street of Mathura, they went crazy. We heard so much for 11 years. We've heard about this romantic dear Lalita hero. And all his exploits and killing these demons and dancing with these gopis and stealing and all these things. We never laid our love-drenched eyes on him. And we've been so much, imagine, like us, you imagine that we're reading about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, and someone says, Krishna's coming down on your street, huh? You would go crazy. You wouldn't waste a second. So it says that it's exactly the same description as when Krishna called the gopis. It says that the ladies were feeding their husbands. They dropped the food on the table and ran out of the house. Some of them were bathing. It's an amazing purport of Vishnu Chakravarti, chapter 10th Kanda, chapter 38 or something like this. 39, 40 maybe, 40, 41. Krishna Balaram enter Mathura. It sounds very like, okay. When you open it up and see those first few verses, how the Ramanis and interact, because that's all a type of, you know, it's like not Gopi Bhav, but it's Madhur Bhav. And some Parakya, they're a little bit, you can say, reflective. But they the same thing. They went out with Kajal and one eye, said, some were in bathing, and without even drying themselves, or dressing properly, they ran out of the bathtub down the stairs to see Krishna walk down the street. Now that's utsaha, that's enthusiasm, that's utkanta, intense eagerness to see Krishna. And Krishna is standing in the temple, standing in the yard, we don't have such eagerness. So this gopis, the mandris are serving with that same eagerness. So then the second let's see what it's mentioned. So now, under that translation, I give another garment. Okay, I only need translation. So when should I run out and bring the blouse that you forgot in the love hour at night? When can I bind? So all these things, that was in Barsana, now inside the Kunja before Run Running leads. When can I bind your hair, restring your broken necklace, paint eyeliner around your eyes, and cover up the bruises caused by Krishna's lovemaking on your body? So those are all described in this verse. Very nice sevas. We mentioned, we'll probably start the other, next verse today. Hope there's a review with some new devotees. I mentioned yesterday that many of the services that Srifad is mentioning in this verse as a mandri, probably one of the services, they're already being done eternally. They're the nitya sevas of particular sakis and mandris. Painting Radharani's eyes is done by Chitra, and combing and braiding her hair is done by Lalita. And all these things, that's their nitya seva, amongst so many other things. So now we hear that they're being displaced or they're being replaced because the opportunity to serve Radharani, I mean, they're described, when, at one point, Rasik Janas, they're describing the eternal sevas of the sakis and mantris in Radha Krishna Gana Deshnipika, Rosh Vilas Tav, and other places. So that we know that they're so talented and they're so kalavati and they're so expert in all the kalas and arts. But then, because so many of those sevas and mantris do, then they write other books by the same person, same writers, or by other writers, like Raghunath Das and Rupa Goswami and Prabhupada, where they're describing those same services which appear to be reserved as the eternal services or nitya sevas of those sakis and mantris. So you may think, wait a minute, there's something contradiction here. Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika is saying that one of the eternal services of Chitra is to paint eyeliner in Radharani's eyes in the morning when she wakes up in Barsana. And when you read Govinda Lilamrita, you'll see names mentioned. Tulsi Mandri does this, and Chitra does this, and Lalita takes off, and the ornaments, and Vishaka does this. Now we read in this book by one of the Astasakis absorbed in Mandri Bhav, or other books by Mandris, when will I brush Radharani's hair? When will I put eyeliner on Radharani? When will... So they said, wait a minute, how does it work? And as I mentioned yesterday, that the nitya, just to get more elaboration, the nitya sevas of those nitya sakis, I mean the Paramaprasya sakis, but the nitya parishads of Radharani, they're doing that. But then there's also opportunity because for every... It goes to such an extent for every sadhaka, what to speak of every parivar, there's one Radharani, there's one Lalita, there's one Vishaka. But yet, for example, Chitra's painting eyeliner on Radharani's eyes eternally with her Radharani. And then in your Barsana, in your Prakoshta, in your compartment with your Radharani, there may be Chitra's there, but then she may say, you paint, you may do that service. Because it's explained for every, as we see here, that Krishna, oh, you have love for me, you have attraction for me, you want to serve me, you want to buy it. So then Krishna comes into everybody's house. Everyone has, there's 100 devotees. Like they say, Vrindavan, this was 1970s. Vrindavan is an amazing temple. Amazing village. It's a village of temples. There's 5,000 temples in Vrindavan. Well, that was 1970. When the devotees came. But probably a few more now. And there's right now 5,000 Russians in Vrindavan. And every Russian has a temple. Plus the other 5,000 Indians are probably, you know, a few more Indians by now. The population increases. So there's 5,000, 10,000, maybe 50,000 temples. So that for every devotee, there's a Krishna. And how do we speak? We say, Mero Radha Ramana Giridhari. So, Mero, what about Apno? Apne, or Tum, Apne. Is mine, what about yours? Mero means mine. I'll show you. Because one Goswami, he'll say, is my Radharaman. Another Goswami, is my Radharaman. And you'll say, it's your Radharaman. So now,
Now, what's Krishna going to do? Split himself in 100 pieces?
No, he'll manifest 100 Radharamanas. 1,000, million, unlimited. The rasa dance is Krishna expanding to be with his devotees. Right? The gopis. So look at the principle. You have Bhagavan, you have devotee, and you have love. And Krishna, all the devotees are reaching out to Krishna with their love. He's one, and there are many. So, eko pahusham, eko pahusham. Krishna's one, and he's many. Eko pahusham. There's many. So then, he, all thousands of devotees, 16,000 gopis are reaching out with all their love, and all their prema and mahabhava, to whatever degree. And then Krishna expands to accept and reciprocate. And there's thousands of Russians and thousands of Europeans and Americans, whatever, Indian devotees. And they're reaching out, oh Krishna, this is my love. Whatever. It's not like gopi praying. It's not like Mahabhava. But it's some kind of bhava. It's some kind of praying. It's my love, my praying. And then Krishna's all right. Come, here I am. Dress me. Feed me. Take care of me. I'm in your house. I'm living with you. And he becomes the center of your house. Of your life, heart, temple. Everything goes around like this. So this, as above, so below. This is from the Bible. As above, so below. But what's going on with Krishna and the gopis expanding? So he's dancing with all of us. So this is how, when, that's why these books are given for meditation, for the Raghunuga Sarikas. Yes, you can do it.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. Wow, I mean, I don't know anything. I don't have any qualification. I'm good. But you know, how many lifetimes have you been putting kajal on your eyes if you're a lady? It's like life after life after life if you keep becoming a lady. And then, so now it's your golden opportunity. Say some man that's been a man many lifetimes, he's only meditating, putting kajal, he may be a little rough. Maybe a little, get someone right around his eyes or something. So that's why he goes to Brahma Vrindavan and he practices with some other Manjaris. He's in Manjaris Sarup. He said, let me practice. Chitra took me in a kunja. And Chitra, finally, this is the day of reckoning or whatever you want to call it. When we enter Brahma Vrindavan, all the arts and all the kalas that we've been meditating on, reading about, and enraptured and captivated and attracted by in all of our studies and hankerings, over lifetimes of sadhana bhajan, finally you enter there in our siddha sarup in Brahma Vrindavan. We go to school. Yeah, that's right. More notebooks, more pens. Well, no, there they don't have notebooks. They have, you know, cell phones. Well, they have brains. At any rate, there's training there. It's going on. And that's in Swaniya, there's one prayer, beautiful prayer by Das Goswami Pada, Tulsi Manjari, in Stavavali, where he's offering prayers to the Ashtasakis, who were expert in these various Nitya Sevas. He's saying, oh Chitra, I'm praying to you, be kind to me. When will you take me by the hand and you will show me how to apply kajal exactly correctly to Radharani's eyes to make every particle of that kajal, the way I put it on, it will feel like Shama's touching her. It will remind her of Shama's color, it will remind her of Sham Ras, it will remind her of Sham's Shringar Ras, everything. But Shringar Ras, what color is Shringar Ras? The color of kajal. Shringar Ras means erotic conjugal love, and divine erotic love of Sri Radha and Krishna Yuga. So that, we put, when kajal's around Radharani's eyes, what does she think? Krishna's embracing my eyes. Krishna's embracing my eyes, Krishna's embracing my heart, Krishna's embracing my form, my life, everything. So that's a very special seva. So that's being told here. When will I do that? When will I fix your broken necklace? When will I paint eyeliner in English? Paint eyeliner around your eyes. It says that's Samanitam Pradavani. So these are services. We'll read the Leela and then on to the next verse. We discussed already about this concept of Kada, and it's very prominent everywhere, that concept we discussed 2 days ago. And this, it should be very clear that all of these books are
of course, books for meditation, or books for inspiration. We read and say, this is marvelous. This is beautiful. This is the, we say in the beginning, oh, go back to Godhead or spiritual world or Radha Krishna and Vrindavan and Seva and I'm a servant, all these basic concepts. But then when you get, as we go further and develop our devotion and attraction and ruchi for all these things, then we find there's a whole dynamic world that's completely personal and completely human. And as you enter deeper and deeper into Vrajlila and all the culture and nuances of it, then you realize how present-day Vraj, still, there's lots of vestiges and remnants of that spiritual culture. Like we read about Radharani Sanji. Sanji, like they have the mandir. There's a mandir, I think it's Sanji, S-A-N-G-H-I, Sanji or something. There's a small mandir right on the left-hand side of Radharaman Temple in Vrindavan. And that's the Sanji mandir. Sanji, it's not Shanji. And it's only open for 2 weeks a year during Ashwin Krishna Paksha. Now it's Kartik has started. But the month before Kartik, in the dark moon, it's called Shrad. Shrad is when in Vedic culture, Indian culture, you worship the ancestors, the grandmother, grandfather, etc., that have died and gone to Pitri Loka, wherever they've gone. You do some puja. Part of that puja entails this every evening on the boundary wall outside your entrance gate on west side or whatever, one side, usually west, you'll do paintings. There's different paintings. You do paintings of various demigods and the god of the earth and very simple hieroglyphic type paintings or paintings of Yogamaya, different paintings on that wall. And Radharani used to do this. She used to do Sanji. And there's a pastime at Kusum Sarovara where she went there during Shrad with all the gopis to pick flowers. And she was picking flowers and she wandered off by herself to pick flowers and all the sakis were separated from her. And then Krishna heard that she was there in Kusum Sarovara. And this is a Naimittik Leela. Nitya Leela, Indravinda Leela Marita, that's some other thing before Radhakan, but that's Nitya. This is Naimittik, occasional. So then Radharani is wandering, looking, collecting flowers and some mandris behind her, putting in basket. And then somehow Radharani, she wanders away, and then her chunari is kind of like a veil over her head. It gets, Krishna hears that Radharani's there, so he disguises himself as a Brijvasi Mali. Mali means a gardener. Takes care of flowers. But usually they wear a red, like some kind of red gamsha around their, for the lower side. And they have some red gamsha tied around their neck, and they have some stick or whatever to chase monkeys. But then Krishna was all disguised as a Mali. And then, Radharani, this is actually one leela in Purva Rag. Because generally this Sanji is done when the girl, by the little girls in the family. They do these paintings outside the wall, that's their seva. And they offer, and the mother and father will cook pakka bhog every day and put on the roof, feed to a cow or to a crow to feed the pea trees. Cow or a crow, or maybe ants also, I think. They make pakka bhog, means like puris and halava and fried in ghee to offer to the ancestors. Pitri means ancestors. The little girls will do this. So Radharani, this is Purva Rag. So, this is a nice pastime. So then, so Radharani was there picking flowers, and then Krishna went there, and then she was just picking, and then she moved like this, and her chunari got caught in some rose bushes. Those rose bushes, gulab, rose bush has a little thorn, and got caught. She was like this. And then Krishna was watching Radharani the whole time as a mali, hiding. And they had not, this is Purva Rag, their love was developing, but they had not actually met yet. So then, and intimately. So then Krishna came up, and then he, with his stick, he just
reached over like almost invisibly and lifted Radharani's chunari. Then she walked away and pretended like nothing happened. I'm all right. But somehow she was saying, how did that happen? It was stuck. And just all of a sudden, like magic, it got unstuck. And she turned around. And when she turned around, Krishna was had his stick, kind of a tall stick, he was leaning on the stick. Looking at her, like one of those mischievous looks it is that captures, you see for 1 second, your heart is stolen forever and ever. And then Radharani, she just turned around. You know, for example, ladies, like sometimes they go somewhere and some man is staring at them, and you can feel someone is looking at you from the back of your head or whatever. Men also, if you quickly turn around, the person goes, they look in the sky, lady or man, like, oh, I'm just looking, see those birds, they're very nice. I'm just looking at the lights on the ceiling of the restaurant or the college cafeteria, but I was actually, like this. So then Radharani, she just turned around and she saw Krishna looking at her, and she was stunned. They were just looking at each other. And then the Mandri, this Radharani kind of went by herself for a few minutes. Oh, Radharani, I couldn't find you where you went. And she said, Radharani, come. And then Krishna immediately disappeared when the Mandri came. And Radharani like turned around and was like, wow, who did I see? What did I feel? What happened to me? I never felt like this my whole life. And then she looked dazed and a little stumbled, like, stunned. Manjari said, what's happened with you? What's wrong? Why you look so... Come. And she kind of walked a little bit like in a trance. Back then the Sakis, they saw her and they said, Radharani, where were you? What happened to you? I don't know. So this is all part of Sanjeev. So I was saying, although it's a small tangent, I was saying that Braj itself is very much Udipan for the culture of this Nara Leela, Rana Krishna's Nara Leela. So they, in this village, and there's so many Brajvasis on the street, so every day they would, all the little girls would come out of their house and paint their sanjis. So then when I do in the evening time, just after sunset, at dusk, at sandhya, that's the time it's supposed to be done. So I would stop and I'd say, who is this and who are you painting? And it's just all little girls, like 5, 6, 7, they're painting flower petals and cow dung and maybe they make some paint if they're artistic. All around. You've seen? Sanji? That's very nice. And Radharani does the same thing. What was being done by Radharani 5,000 years ago? And Radharani, her father is a worshipper of Suryadev. So in their house in Vrishabhanapur, they have a deity of Surya Narayan. But then, so Radharani can easily do Surya Puja there, because she's considered to be Surya Prasad. Her name is Bano Nandini, the daughter of... Bano means sun, and Nandini means the daughter of the sun, because she was a gift of the sun. Because Radharani, which I had the question about this, which I asked Advaitadas, he wasn't sure, and I heard this in class the other day, and then they were a very elaborate description about Surya Vamsh and whatnot, and Radharani. So that Radharani is in the Surya Vamsh. Vamsh means branch or group. And Krishna, of course, is in Chandra Vamsh. Krishna is born at midnight when the moon is raining in the sky. Raining means ruling over the sky at the highest position. And Radharani is born at midday when the sun is in the highest position. And she's actually in the Surya Vamsh, which is, I have never read anywhere. I looked a lot. But somewhere it's been revealed. She's in Surya Vamsh, they have a Surya temple. So the next question is, why did she come all the way over here to Surya Kund? But when she was little, before she reached puberty, when she was a little girl, then her father, she used to watch her father do Surya Puja in the house, and she would help. And then when she grew up and it was time to meet Krishna, and of course she went to Yavan and got married, and they weren't worshippers. Kutila, Jatila, their family, they were worshippers of Ambika and Durga, and Chandravali also. But Jatila is a worshipper of Ambika, which means Durga. So they weren't. So then Purnamasi, because then Radharani would say, oh, I have to worship Suryadev. It's Sunday, I have to worship Suryadev. So then Jatila says, okay, go to Varsana. worship. So then Yogamaya came to Jatila's house, and she, when just when Radharani was old enough to meet Krishna and enjoy intimately with Krishna, then Yogamaya made an announcement. She said, listen, and Radharani has, now she has to do Surya Puja, not only on Sundays, but actually every day. And it's told in scriptures that if you travel to some distance to do puja, it's much more beneficial than if you just do puja in your house. If there's a Krishna deity in your house, you get so much benefit, and punya and bhakti and sukriti. But if you go down the street to the Radharaman temple and offer your ghee lamp there and your arti there, you get so much more blessing. So she said, so please don't mind, but if Radharani, if she goes, this temple is very special in Suryakund. If she goes there, then you'll get so many cow, your son, Abhimanyu, he'll get so many lakhs and lakhs of healthy cows and so much money, and he'll live a long life, and Radharani will be healthy, and their marriage will go on forever, eternally. You get so many blessings. So when she, it was all Sanskrit, so Yogamaya Purnamasi, she was speaking to Tritila to induce her and encourage her to release Radharani for this distant puja. And then she was using the word pati. That, you know, she will be married to her pati. But pati, there's pati and utpati. There's like pati bhav or pati. Pati means husband. It also means Lord. The Lord, master. Gokulpati, there's names like this. Gokulpati. Gokulpati das means the servant of the Lord of Gokul. So it means husband or Lord. So, yeah. When she was saying she'll be married to her pati eternally, she was actually speaking it in such a way that syllables, she'll be married to her utpati. So there's pati, and utpati means an additional pati, which means a paramour, an illicit lover. So her pati, so-called husband of Radharani pati is Abhimanyu. And utpati, other one, or real one, is Krishna. That's her Lord. He is her Lord eternally and forever. So the idea is, if Radharani, it's so nice, Purnamasi is saying, if you let your daughter, daughter-in-law, if you let her go just do Surya Puja, then she'll be connected to Krishna and Sambandha as his wife forever and ever and ever. And this is very good. So let Radharani go. So she said, yes, this is a very good idea. Go every day to Surya Puja. So this is how that happens. So this Raj Leela, sorry, sometimes you have to go into these pastimes. That's all part of it. So this verse is basically, you know, making these points that I was saying here, that the verb here, it says that it doesn't say, because in some books it says, when will Radharani send me out? When will Radharani ask me? Manjri, I forgot my kanchuli in the kunja. Can you please go fetch it from there and bring it back? So then she goes, and Radharani's order. But here in this verse, he's saying, it's very nice, he says, pradavami. And pradavami, if you look in the word for it, means, when will I run? When will I run? So there's one thing to walk to do your seva. You can walk. Have you ever been in Vrindavan and you're approaching some temple like Govindaji or Radharaman, and you hear these old, very 500-year-old bells, huge old bell metal bells, dong, dong, like Radha-dama, or you're coming from the Yamuna Snan, you're taking Snan, and it's, you know, 12:30 in the afternoon. I remember I lived there. Prabhupada's rooms, you're coming back from Yamuna. Now Artik is about 12:45, and they close the door. Then you hear that, and you see all the bhaktas running. Have you ever seen? It's like a stampede. Like a stampede of bhaktas. Have you ever seen? You go to Radharaman and the bell is ringing. That means artik is going on. And devotees are running. And I picked this idea up when I came in 77, first time, when I was touring the temple. I saw these people running. I mean, I, I, and all I can do to drag myself to Mangalarti in Los Angeles, somehow get there every day. I'm not running down the stairs for the Brahmacharya Ashram, flashing into the temple like lightning. But they're running. And I thought, this is devotion. Utsaha, we read about it in Nectar of Instruction. Utsaha Nishchaya Dharya. These are the symptoms of devotion. Utsaha. But, okay, but when you see it in action, some old lady who can hardly walk and she's moving as fast as she can with her little cane. That's amazing. This is called sanskara. It's called bhakti sanskara, alochan. Alochan sanskara. The most powerful sanskara is registered most deeply in our chitta, or what we see. And even when you dream, they've studied dreams and what sense impressions people remember. They remember most what they see in their dreams. And then secondarily what they hear, and then what they taste, and the smell is really down, and touching. People, interviewing people have dreamed. They're dreaming, they're in the middle of a dream. They do studies, but they like see the waves, and they waken up. What are you dreaming? Is that, you were eating? Yes, I see. What did you smell? Oh, I don't know. And very few people remember smell. I mean, there's some studies. So when seeing, it's a fact that what you see makes very deep sanskaras. So when you see devotion, or you see a devotional enthusiasm, it's like, wow, somebody, or you see an advanced devotee who's actually in bliss, or he's the face of an advanced devotee. I remember when I was at Radha Damodar for 3 years, there's many old devotees there, the temple that in our usual temple, mostly Western devotees and some Indians, everyone has a certain type of look and a certain kind of bhav there for the most part. There's exceptions everywhere. But when you live out in Vrindavan and you live amongst the local devotees that have been going to this temple since they're babies, now they're 40 and 50 years old, and they're going there in the last life and the life before that, they're just born in Sevakunj life after life. And you live there for 3 years right amongst them and see the same faces every day. And you start to really see some amazing displays of genuine devotion and genuine bhakti. No show, there's no one. I remember one lady, Bengali lady, she was a widow or so. And she would come at a particular time when hardly anyone was there. And I was always, in some Prabhupada's rooms in the ground. And I saw her, she'd be standing there right before in the afternoon, before the doors are closed. Most people do prakramana at this last few minutes or even evening. For certain times, I don't know now. But in those days, it's 1992, I think. So she's come there, there's not many people around. And the Pujari's in the kitchen. She's just standing like this. Just eyes are like riveted. I mean, they're just like cemented to Damodar. And tears are coming down her face. I remember when I just came up, and this aura around this person was so deep and so brilliant. It was like, I'm alone with my Lord. I came up the stairs the first time I saw it. I was like, so wait a minute, I don't want to interrupt. I mean, there's something very personal and confidential going on here between the Bhakta and Bhagavan, between Damodar and this devotee. And I just stopped, and I was running up the stairs and darshan. I was like, and I looked. And then I made note of that because I saw her many times coming, but I never paid attention. And then every once in a while, just to see, I would kind of come up quietly and just observe. And totally oblivious, like in samadhi. I was on the side. So that I saw, and you've all seen Braj and devotees and Babaji's and so many people with your eyes, and it makes an impression. It's called sanskara. So this is this vision here, just seeing this. Sripad is saying this because this service is already described before this book was even written. It was described by Manjri running out to get the choli. We're saying Govinda Lilamrita, and this is written later, this book. So he's saying, I'm running. When will I run out? This is this prayer. He's saying, when will I run? When Radharani indicates to me with the movement of her eyes or just observe, I don't need any, no one has to tell me because everything's revealed automatically in the Manjari's hearts.
The Mandri's hearts were so saturated with the desire. I forgot the poem. The Mandri's hearts were so saturated with the desire to serve that they automatically know what's needed. And this is explained. What time is it? Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, 15 minutes. The Mandri's is described when they describe about it. Describe about a servant. And there's three types of servants of a master. There's a master and servant. So in any situation where there's servants and masters, there's three types of servants. So once the lowest class of the inferior, the lowest class of servant is the one who I have to give class like this. Lies are too much. It's not that I'm engulfing Bob or something. it's just practical, flies land on your eyeballs, it's a little distressing. And it's a regular feature because there's all 100,000 buffaloes around here, and flies and buffalo. The three types of servants. So the inferior, lowest class one is one that he was asked, please, will you do this service? Or please, okay. I guess, can anybody else do it? Okay, I guess I have to do it. I'll do it. They do it. And then and the second class servant, he's asked to do something, or she, whomever. And they're very happy about that. And they're excited about the proposal because they've lived to serve. Their very life is service, so without service, they're dead. They feel it so. I feel that I'm dead, I have no service. Service, service, service. And that's, of course, the Mandri's whole meditation. So, the idea, if we don't have that idea as a shishya, as a das of our guru, and Vaishnava, Hari Guru Vaishnava das, Anandas, we don't have that idea of being happy about serving, being excited about the opportunities to serve, then we have a long way to go to Mandri Bhav. Because Mandris are made of nothing but that. So the second class servant, he's happy, very thrilled with the offering of service and feels, oh, now Jivan Sartak, now my life has value, now, oh, yes, service, let's go. Just like they say in the Gita, that happy are such kshatriyas to whom such fighting opportunities are presented. Happy are such, because Krishna's preaching to Arjuna, you should be happy. Happy are such kshatriyas to whom such fighting opportunities are presented. It's an old Gita. So if you're a kshatriya and someone says, hey, someone's in distress, they need someone to protect them. All right, let's go. But if you're not a kshatriya, how big are they? who's in distress? Is the guy big? He's really big. Oh, sure. Okay, I'll see. Go the other way. But guys, Kalo Shudra Sambhava, Janate Jayate Shudra in Kali Yuga. Everyone's born like a Shudra Bhava. Fear. But so here, in that same idea, for the Das Anudas, the Sevites or Dasis, they're happy about service. So the second class, or second category of servant, he or she is very happy to receive service, and they very enthusiastically do it, execute and fulfill that requirement. The first class, best, topmost, rare, very, very sudurlabh Sevite, and rare servant, they don't need to be asked, they don't need to be told. They know automatically. They just know that they can. They're tuned in with the vibes. They're like the Mandris are like the ultimate Reiki healers. Then the Mandris are like the ultimate Reiki healers or psychic healers. They don't have to. They can heal by distance. Like someone said, "Oh Maharaj, I know you have this problem on." With your heart or this, that. I'm doing distant healing. I said, well, great. As long as you're doing distant healing, can you send me to Goloka from over there also? So the Mandris, they're much more sensitive than that because their hearts are Radharani's heart goes love, 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 love,
the Madhuri's heart is one in the beat with Radharani's heart. Radharani's thoughts, before she thinks something that's required, the Madhuris are giving it to her. She's thinking, oh, Shyam, I think Shyam's thirsty. I want to. Because Radharani is serving Krishna through all her expansions. All the Kaya Vyuha. Vyuha means expansion. Kaya means her body. Kaya Vyuha means all the expansions of Radharani are simply expressing her desires to serve Krishna. And one day, Srila Prabhupada said, why are there 8,400,000 species of life? There are 8,400,000 species. And every species, there's so many varieties within, therein. So he said, why are there 8,400,000? Because there's 8,400,000 desires to forget Krishna. So in the same way, there's the Mandris, they have 8,400,000 desires to serve Radharani. Even before they know the needs of Radharani. When Radharani's thinking, oh, Krishna's thirsty, then the Mandris right there at the side of the flower bed saying, oh, Shyam, here's some refreshing camphor scented water that I kept on the roof overnight in a clay pot, and all the full moon rays shined in it and moonized it. And every planet, every body has energy and power. So sun and moon are very powerful. Sun, the moon rays are powerful. And yogis ride the moon waves to other planets. And these are great, powerful entities. So that's why in Rasa Purnima was the other day. It was Rasa Purnima. And I don't know if anyone still does it. Well, some of my friends in Delhi, they told me. And I forgot about it because we're on the Kartik Vrat. But when you join ISKCON, and Prabhupada told us in L.A., he said there's a big festival coming up, Ras Purnima, full moon night in Ashwin, the Maharas dance in Bhagavatam. I said, okay, what do we do? We're all going to go to the Venice Beach and have Ras Lila on the side of the Pacific Ocean. Prabhupada said, no, not like that. But you should make a big pot of sweet rice, because there's 400 devotees in LA temple at the time, and ladies and gents, to make a big pot of sweet rice, like here, we say here in India, and make it very, very nice, your American style. The American style, Indian style is hot milk, and very thin milk and lots of rice and nothing else. But American style is half milk, half cream. You know, the German style, half milk, half cream. the real thing. Don't even talk about it. It's bad memories. But anyway, so then we have these huge, big refrigerators and everything, keep it nice and cool. Okay. So then he said, you make that sweet rice, and then you put it on the roof of the temple. And the full moon rays, and we said, drop it on the roof of the temple? Of course, there's no monkeys in L.A., I mean, at least not the ones with, you know, like those were the ones we know. And he put it on the roof of the temple. And he said, why, Prabhupada? That's a little strange. And Krishna's on the roof. He said, no, but this moon rays will shine inside this sweet rice. And it'll become so nice that Krishna and Radharani and gopis, they will come on the rooftop to eat that sweet rice and dance the ras on the roof. So every Rasa Purnima, we would put the sweet rice on the roof. With some screen. You did like this? And then put some screen so no flies, anything goes inside. You know, it's like jolly, you know, screen. And jolly. So the moon rays, everything goes inside. And like, and next day, that was breakfast. Wow! You know, forget about the oatmeal and apple. And it was a little bit of oatmeal and apple and a piece of ginger. That was, and a cup of hot milk. That was the ordinary breakfast. You know, plop, oatmeal and a piece of ginger at one end. So now it was like sweet rice to the neck, as much as you could drink it. It was, as everyone knows, it was totally intoxicating. More so than regular sweet rice. But this is Ras Purnima. And I met some devotee, I called on the phone, they said we put it out last night. So these services are available, and they're running for seva, they're very enthusiastic, and this is the first class servant that he knows what's required. I even doubt that Radharani had to say anything. It doesn't say that Radharani ordered me. It just says, when can I run out to bring the blouse that you forgot in the love bower at night's end? So this is very nice, because we're getting lots of ideas here that the mantris are enthusiastic and they're enthusiastic to serve. So this is basically I just want to point out that we've heard repeatedly and we read from head to toe, the mantris are made, they're just made of concentrated enthusiasm for Radharani's loving service. These are some of the beautiful sevas that are rendered in the morning. It's called sunrise pastimes and sunrise sevas. So intimate. Imagine you're there with Radharani. You're just a few inches from her face and you're putting a cudgel on her eye and your hand is on her forehead or on her head. And how steady. I mean, can you imagine? Talk about samadhi. And people say, oh, samadhi. Because in yoga there's niyam, and then there's yama niyama, asan, then there's pratyahara, and dhyana, and all these stages, and finally samadhi, where everything is totally fixed in one point. But if any one of these verses in Rag Marg, one can be totally fixed in samadhi. No distraction of any of his senses or mind to any point. This is like one big complaint devotees often have is called big shape, and it's described as such in Madhurya Kanamani, Anishtita Bhakti. When bhakti is not steady and we're full of anarthas and impurity in our minds, which is our condition as we begin, most of us, our minds are not very pure in the beginning of bhakti bhajan. So the mind is jumping, it's distraction, big shape, it's called big shape. So we say chant louder, meditate on the meanings of the holy name given by acharyas. And there are different suggestions by different guardians of devotion and acharyas given in various scriptures, including Bhakti Sandarvas in Mantra Artha Chintana. Mantra Artha Chintana, to meditate, chintana, consider and think about the meaning, art. The value, the meaning of the mantra, the Diksha mantras, of course, and also the Maha mantra, which is Nam. It's mantra art chintana, but also Nam art chintana. But that's all right, but if one has some ruchi, some attraction for Leela, and he's interested in this, because Rag Marg, everything becomes slightly modified, so then we're also chanting, because Rag Marg can begin at the platform of Artha Nivritti. If one has that loba and that interest, he still doesn't have, his mind is not all that pure, and his life is not all that regulated, and he's not all that great, serious about everything. But he's following principles, and he's trying his best to be enthusiastic and dutiful and regulated. But he has greed. He has interest. He has keen interest. He wants this thing. Okay, I'm carrying a lot of heavy baggage. My previous parabdha, my previous reactions to my life. Okay, that goes on. But my heart is running in this direction. My mind has been captivated by what I read. My mind has been captivated by what I heard. And my heart has been captivated by what I've seen and whom I've met. The acharyas and teachers and places I've seen and the people I've met. Now my mind and heart are captivated by this Rag Marg, and that conception of going to Vrindavan and serving Radharani as a kinkari, Palyadasi, in Madhurya Bhav. I don't know what all it is, and all it, but I know I want it. I know this is the ultimate Krishna consciousness, worshipping Radha and Krishna together in divine love in the kunjas. And all the technical terms and all that, I'll figure all that out later. Because the gopis weren't very technical. They just love Krishna. They didn't know a lot of Sanskrit terms and they couldn't splice everything with 500 different words. Like we're hearing the description today about all the different anuragas and manjishta anurag and raktima anurag has two divisions, nila and sham, and there's manjishta anurag and then that goes to bhav and then adiruda and ruda and adiruda and mahabhav and mohan and modan. I mean, I think the gopis have all that figured out. Even the gopis, Krishna's lovers, they're in it. Of course we have to study it, we should know it as best as possible. But the real thing is the desire to always hear and chant and remember the Nam, Rupa, Gun, and Leela of Radha and Krishna, and Madhurya, Bhav, and Vrindavan. So these, the best way to control the mind is to read a verse like this, or to read, if you have a good capacity of memory, some devotees have good memory. You read some Leela over and over again, and you record it yourself on a tape, and you play it. Then it becomes pretty good in your memory, and you sit down and chant japa. And then you enter that movie of that Leela in your mind, in the screen of your mind and heart. And you're not making any sound, you're totally chanting silently. That's samadhi. All your energy, what is samadhi? All your energy is fixed on one point. So your breathing, your voice, everything. There's no voice, the breathing is so slow automatically. Forget about anulom and pratilom. You don't have to mechanically adjust your pranayama. Pranayama automatically comes by the intensity of your meditation. There's some basic techniques, you know, using Agya Chakra. This is the Trikuti, this midpoint. Krishna says in Gita, the 6th chapter of Gita, he says the yogis fix their concentration on Madhya Bru. Madhya Bru. It's very interesting in English. Bru means brow. This part here, this little dangerous bows of the woman's face, this is called the eyebrow. Eyebrow. Brow in English, no? Brow. So, Madhya means middle. So concentrate your attention, Madhya Bru, which means Trikuti, or there's 7 chakras in the yoga system. It's called Agya. Agya Chakra. So that's, Agya means command, order, the word Agya. Agya. Guru Agya, Saki, my Saki Yuteshri Agya. Oh, go collect, go make these flower garlands. Go do this, go do that. And Guru Saki may give order. So this is Agya Chakra, means the command chakra, that energy center, that psychic energy center, which commands. It controls and commands. So when you fix your attention there, that chakra, a chakra is a wheel, okay? It's a wheel. So that wheel spins, and it puts the mind in the center. The center of that chakra becomes the mind. The mind becomes the hub. You know the hub? You know a wheel? And there's spokes like this. There's a center. Or say it's a car. It has an axle. You get a flat tire. And through the center of the tire, you put the bolts. So that when you meditate in Agya Chakra, it's like spinning, and it catches the mind and puts it in the middle. You know, there's a circle, and all your attention, all your thoughts are going here. Your thoughts are like the spokes of the wheel. You know the spokes? Motorcycle has spokes. Go like this. You know? So all your thoughts go there, and then you think of the verse, and then your mind just moves into the center there, into the hub. And there's no big shape, there's no distraction. And then more and more you concentrate, just on one line. When will I paint your eyes with eyeliner? See, so then again, you employ the principle: who, what, when, where. Who am I? Oh, I'm so and so Mundry, and I'm looking like this, and maybe my associates are there, and they're there, and where is this pastime going on? Oh, this setting is there. It's in the kunja. There's 4 trees and 4 corners, and so the whole scene is there, the setting, the Udipan, the Viva, the Anubhav, the Premashraya, the Premishaya, you know, the players of the Leela. And that's all, just one line in your hand, and then some, it's another mantra, maybe you're holding the kajal and you're just going like this. And piece by piece, it just tells you one thing, and then you put the whole thing in 4 rounds and 8 rounds and 16 rounds. Oh. That anyone sitting here can do this. You don't have to be in the level of Bhav. And level of Bhav, I mean, we don't have to be in the level of Bhav, of Prema, to meditate with this type of fixation and concentration. Level of Bhav, you know, then you're experiencing Ras, and you're maybe trembling when you're seeing that, and you start to paint Radharani's eyes, and you start trembling because of the ecstasy, because you're seeing these 40. You're just kind of seeing it on the screen of your mind, which is kind of a black screen, and gradually something will come out of the blackness. You may see something. If you're And once I asked him, which Radharani? I once asked one my teacher, and I said, well, when we meditate on Radharani, which Radharani should we meditate on? A deity of Radharani or a painting that we like? And he said, you meditate, and that Radharani that appears, it appears to you when you meditate, that Radharani. I said, okay, this was a very highly advanced soul. Because I was thinking I thought he would say, your favorite painting of Radharani, whom you think really reminds you of Radharani, whomever, or the favorite Radharani deity you may have, or your own Radharani deity. And he said, no, you close, you meditate, and the Radharani you see when you're chanting and meditating, so whenever you meditate on Radharani, that Radharani that you see. Okay, back to the drawing board. So I realized that forget all that, and then I just have to find that Radharani in my own meditation. And ultimately, everyone will. So this is, these verses are for that, and this is the extent. This is practice means do, act. Not like, yeah, very nice. Like I have a friend, they have this cookbook. And I said, so you have this cookbook, you want this cookbook. Have you ever cooked anything in it? No. But I read it. I thought, that's very nice. You read the cookbook. It has nice little anecdotes about Prabhupada and different things. A few little anecdotes scattered throughout the book, which are very nice. Because I skimmed through the book and read those anecdotes. I'm not a cook. But I saw there was some descriptions of Prabhupada, so I was eager to look at that. Isn't that 15 years ago? So I just went through and beginning a different section, savory, the different sections, and looked. I was in Surat with Prabhupada, and we went in the kitchen of Mr. Gupta's house, and he showed me how to make the curry. He mixed a little baking soda in with the flour and this and that, to make it rise. And so all these little things like that. So this is the class today. I think we're finished with this class. There's no more points, and it has six different sevas in this verse. And we discussed almost everything. But tomorrow we will discuss on verse 88 of Radha Serenity. And this is the title we call the resolution or determination of Radha's Manjaris. And now that's right now.
Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe.
Prabhadananda Saraswati Pada ki jai, Shri Kartik Devi Radharani ki jai, Shyama Kunralakundiri Govardhana ki jai.